list in front of me here. But so we'll go ahead and start. Scott Simpkins, some here, and want to go ahead, Mark and Kim Marie.
Hi, I'm Mark Mayer. I'm here from sunny California.
Kim Marie McGoldrick from Richmond is here.
Okay, I'll go around and just call your name, and you can say a little bit about yourself, what module you're working with. That's a little test for us, see? And if you don't remember, you have to make something up really fast, or you have to look through your emails really fast. So I'll go in alphabetical order, the way we have it on the site right now. So Cheryl, are you here? Cheryl Ball? Okay. Joanne?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. So you want to say a little bit about yourself and what module that you're working with on this project?
Well, I teach at the College of St. Catherine, so I'm here in Minnesota and freezing, but it's very sunny at least, and I'm working on context-rich problems. Was there anything else I was supposed to say?
No, that's good. I'm a Johnny, so but I won't hold that against you. You're not a Tommy, so it's okay.
Oh, we're Katie's here.
That's right. Betty.
Betty Black of San Francisco State, and my module is teaching with simulations. And I've been interested in how computers could help students learn economics, oh my goodness, since I saw the Apple IIe back in the late 1970s. So
it was just a babe.
I was just a little kid, yeah.
Miles.
Hi, Miles Cahill from College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I'll be working on the spreadsheets module.
Joe Calhoun,
Florida State University. It's a little chilly, but we're above zero down here. I use one kind of technology called a personal response system, which is just one of many types of clickers that you can use in a classroom. So my module's on the use of a wide variety of clickers, not just mine in specifically.
Someone just joined, but we'll be coming around. We're doing introductions, and I'll come back to you if we've already passed by. Steve Greenlaw, you here?
No, Steve said he couldn't make this one.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's right. Art?
Hi, Art Goldsmith at Washington and Lee University. And the module I'm going to work on has to do with interdisciplinary ways of teaching economics and working with students.
Thanks. Gail?
Gail Hoyt from the University of Kentucky, where it is cold enough that my kids got a cold day, and I've told them if they pick up the phone, there'll be pain and suffering, so hopefully they won't pick up the phone or start calling their little friends. And I'm doing the module on interactive lectures. I'm not completely sure what that means yet. I'm still thinking about it.
Okay. Dirk.
Yeah, this is Dirk Mateer from Penn State, and I'll be working on the media project to enhance teaching.
Okay. Did you happen to talk to, on a quick aside, Rod Ressler at poster session?
I did not. I did. He was the one who was using the music that we had developed for the music site.
Yep, down the end of the wave.
Absolutely,
you.
On the end. So, yeah, that's pretty cool that he's picked up on something that I'd done some research in.
Yeah. Okay. Liz?
Hi, I'm Liz Perry Sizemore, and I'm working on the student research module. I'm at Randolph College in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Okay, thank you. Ann?
Hi, I'm Ann Valenchik. I'm at Wellesley College, where it's 15 degrees. It's weird that it's warmer than Kentucky. I'm doing the module on teaching with cases.
Thank you. Linda?
I'm Linda Wilson, University of Texas at Arlington, and I've been using documented problem solving in my classes for, I guess, about 3 or 4 years now.
Very good. Andrea? Yes? No? Okay. Paul? Grimes?
Yeah, hello, everyone. This is Paul Grimes at Mississippi State University, and I'm not going to be working on a module, but I'm going to serve as one of the two project evaluators.
Okay. And Kim, are you here? Kim Solson, are you here by chance?
I am here by chance.
Good. I knew somebody had clicked in after we had started, so I didn't know you said you were. So you want to say a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Kim Solson, I'm very impressed with the team you've put together. Like Paul, I'm going to be one of the project evaluators. I'm recently retired from University of Nebraska of Omaha. I am still in Omaha, where it went from minus 14 yesterday to plus 14 today, so we have a real heat wave going.
And anybody else who joined us who didn't get a chance to say who they are and what they're working on?
Did Cheryl Ball chime in?
Nope, she hasn't.
Okay.
Cheryl, are you here?
Just FYI for everybody, we are recording this call. I know that it probably mentioned that when you rung in, and that's for the couple of people who could not join us today.
Is there anyone who is not at a computer with internet connection also at this moment?
Gail, I am not.
Okay. That'll just help us if we start talking about things and we start say anything about the actual project site. I just wanted to know that ahead of time. Are people at, or do they have open the Starting Point website on their computers?
Yep. Yes.
Or anybody not? I'll wait a moment. If that's
I'm
not
the agenda.
Case. Does anyone need the URL? Okay. Well, we're going to be, while people may be getting there, what we're going to do is we're going to, as the agenda says, split this into parts in terms of who's responsible for which parts. We want to start, and we want to be sure to leave room for questions for you, but feel free also to ask questions along the way. If there's a lot of noise, if somebody comes into your office or whatever, you can do *6 to mute and unmute your phone line, and that will help reduce background noise. If you mute your phone with the *6, that's actually useful, although there hasn't been major feedback at this point. So I want to start off by talking a little bit about the project overall. And first of all, thanking all of you again for being here. This is really great that we've got nearly everyone involved with this project on the line today. So this is a real opportunity for us to sort of bring you up to speed, share with you where we're at and what we're thinking about, and also to get your head wrapped around this as well. Because so we're sharing an email yesterday that up to this point it's kind of just an idea, and you know you signed on to something, but it may not be fully clear what that means at this point, even getting emails from us, et cetera. So we want to try and start to make that more real for everybody. Overall, the project is set up to develop a series of pedagogic modules. Each module has various components to it, including research about that module, including how to do it, how to do a particular pedagogy. And an important component is a library of examples, something that we have promised NSF is we'd have at least 10 examples of a particular pedagogy that you're heading up as a module coordinator to illustrate how these things can be used and people can sort of take off the shelf and start to use in their own classrooms. We hope to build on that and have other people contribute to that as well in the future, but to start with, to populate that. We are using and partnering with not just a website, but really a whole content management system, a whole framework for delivering these kinds of modules that was developed by the Science Education Resource Center. And we're actually using their 800 number, and we'll be using in the future their webinar software. They're doing another webinar at the moment, Kathy Manduka, and some of the people that work there, so they're not actually online with us today because they weren't able to clone themselves. They're actually leading a webinar at the moment with another project they're working with. But they've developed a whole series of these modules, mainly in the geological sciences and the geosciences, and we're going to use that framework, and we're going to revise some of the modules that they've already done. For example, there's a module on cooperative learning. There's one on just-in-time teaching and some others that we'll be revising and adding economic examples to. And then we'll be developing a whole series of brand new modules, but using the same framework that's already been developed by CERC, the Science Education Resource Center. So we'll refer to them always as CERC. So you don't have to think about – what you have to think about is filling in the box, filling in the content, essentially, and thinking about the stuff that's important, not about the technical details. They'll take care of all that, and they'll provide technical support for us. So you've already seen the starting – what's the sort of embryonic stage of the Starting Point site, which we'll start to flesh out and build as we bring modules online. So you'll be involved in developing or revising modules, including getting a library of examples together. And we're going to be doing that through a series of three face-to-face workshops at Carleton College, the first one coming up this spring and then in fall next year and then spring the following year. And you've seen that schedule already, but depending which module you have, you're in one, it'll fit in one of those three. We'll have, just to sort of flesh out the framework here, we'll have you develop, people will be developing their modules before those workshops, and we'll use the workshop time to critique, to revise, to extend those modules. And those workshops will include not just people in economics, but it could be people who outside of economics who are also involved with that kind of pedagogy, nationally known or internationally known, recognized people, because part of the focus here is to share across cross-disciplinary lines in an interdisciplinary way. Our hope is that we can learn from other disciplines of some of the work, in particular, that Mark and I have been doing over the past 6 years, but also that other people can learn from our work as economists. So we really want this to be an interdisciplinary kind of focus. So I'm gonna stop right there and take some. If you want to ask some questions, now that I may have jogged a number of questions, to make sure that we start to go over some of those things that Kim Ree might go over them in terms of the manual or the workshop model that Mark talks about. So any questions at this point that we need to address during the next 50 minutes or so here?
I suppose there's the issue, Scott, of some work going into two different modules. I was thinking that Miles and myself might overlap a little bit in terms of computer simulations and spreadsheets. So do we just talk about that amongst ourselves, or are you going to be the one that decides where things go?
We'll serve as a conduit for that, the three of us, Kim Marie, Mark, and I will serve as a conduit for that, or the broker for that conversation. But there's nothing to also, we don't want to stand in the way of people working with each other and talking about that as well, and pointing out to us, because you're in the best place to know where those overlaps occur.
Okay.
It might be nice to have cross-listing, for example, perhaps.
Could people say who they are first?
Sorry, Miles Cahill.
And that was Betty before, I take it.
Yeah, if you preface your – yeah, thank you.
Mark.
Just with your name before we make comments, right?
Yeah. That is some. This is Mark. That is something that CERC is well aware of and they've talked to us about, and they do in their already existing modules. And they can assist us with the technical side of doing links. But it's wonderful if we develop our own and talk with each other about the links that do exist.
Oh, sure. And if I start doing or seeing some spreadsheet applications, I'll get in touch with Miles right away.
Right. And when you start, Scott, here, when you start doing that, to share with us so that we can help coordinate that, we can also coordinate with CERC as well. So this is not all set in stone. I mean, and I don't mean that in a people get worried when somebody says that, but this is an organic process. And so there may be some things that develop that we hadn't envisioned at the start that could really be useful. And we are very much open to that, and so are the folks at CERC. Other questions?
Yeah, hi, it's Anne. I have a question about the library of 10 examples. So some of the best case examples are actually copyrighted purchasable materials, things from the Kennedy School and the Harvard Business School. Is CERC or somebody going to be able to help us figure out a way to make those purchases possible directly from the Starting Point portal? Do we need to just not include those, even though some of them are the very best things? What's the way we're going to deal with that?
This is Mark here. I think the same thing is true with the economic experiments module. And there's already a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I envision is some of the examples would be created just for our site. We also can have links to other sites where other examples exist, in which you might be able to offer, for example, a description of what's available there, and then we would send people to those sites where they would need to purchase or do whatever is necessary.
So you could also offer, I mean, one of the things I have found useful is to help people by providing some insight into what kind of questions to ask accompanying cases or what kind of student work to have done beforehand. So we could make it set up so that original content of ours about how to use that case could then also leak them to the text of the case that they could buy elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think that it's something that the three of the project leaders are gonna, will have to talk about. But as a general rule, first of all, I don't think there's anything to preclude that. We don't want to preclude anything. But at the same time, the other competing notion here is that the intent of all of this is to be as open as possible and openly accessible as possible, inexpensively free if possible. There's a preference to have things that people can make use of without having to pay another fee to use, but that doesn't preclude that. You know, if we certainly want to serve as a vehicle for saying, a filter to things that are really good and people might be willing to pay for, and then here's how you might use that. So it's not to preclude that, but I think as a general rule, we want to make things as open as possible. Think open source as much as possible.
Thanks.
This is Joe. I have two general questions. One, it's my understanding that even though we want to be true to our discipline and talk mostly about application to economics, it's my understanding we also want to have this a little bit more broad-based, so it's not just teaching economics. Can you talk a little bit about the kind of the balance between general teaching and teaching economics? And then I'll get to my second question.
This is Kim Marie. There are actually two parts to each module. The one that talks about the technique in the broadest sense, not tied to any one discipline, where that section, if you skim through the developer's manual, tries to link this technique into the learning sciences and the research that is more broadly based. Then there's another layer that is about economics specifically, because many of these techniques have unique issues as we apply them in economics teaching. Then the final layer of examples is 100% economics focused, that the examples are going to be have an entrance into them, where economists would be the ones to naturally go to those rather than anybody else in other disciplines. But the higher levels of where we talk about the pedagogy itself would likely be accessed by people across disciplines. So we want to have that broader base that grounds everything we do.
Scott here, let me add one footnote to that. And this is useful for perhaps people to understand about the CERT in general, in the model, and what modules are. Think of these modules not as web pages or even sites, but rather it's a database, and that's what they really are. So, for example, there's a just-in-time teaching module. I'll be overseeing that one, the revision of that. But these just-in-time teaching modules, the general part of that, is also used by a physics group. It's used by Merlot. If any of you are familiar with Merlot, Merlot has a pedagogy site. And they actually take out of that database that CERC has. It just goes in and grabs it and creates a new web page on the fly from those different components. One of the things that may happen for the revisions, it may end up that we develop new ones just for that they're sort of for the starting point economics site. But the way you want to think about it is, these the general portion that Kim Marie was talking about could be used by any number of different groups or organizations that we have no idea who might ultimately use them for. Everybody will get attribution for what they've done, but they can be put together, remixed, if you will, in any sort of way by other people. It's just these are just modules in a database.
Okay, and this is Joe again. The second part of my question is, as I'm thinking about developing my module and more specifically my examples, what level of teaching should I be mostly geared toward? Should I have a principles kind of mindset? Should I have an undergraduate upper division mindset? I would think graduate teaching would be kind of out of the question here, but is there kind of a general level that I should be thinking about as I'm developing these things?
This is Kim Marie. Our focus primarily is on the principles class, but that does in no way precludes having other exercises that could be for elective classes, upper division classes. We really envision ultimately this to be a site where examples would cut across classes from principles all the way up to capstone courses. We do want to populate it with examples that will have the most traction to begin with, if possible, though, to gain a lot of interest in the site. And those tend to be the examples that are used by most faculty, i.e. the principles examples. Once we start getting those examples, the question will be exactly how to organize those examples, and that will reveal really whether the focus of those examples are on a topic or on a particular course. And that organization of those examples is something that we need to deal with on each individual module. But again, the primary focus is principles, but not by any means restricted to that.
At some point, I think we'll want to put tags on these so people that come to the site can search micro, macro, and other areas. There'll be multiple tags in terms of topic area, level, and maybe large class, small class, a variety of different ways that people can search and narrow down to what they're looking for.
This is
more,
Gail.
We need to update. We need to put more of this in the developer's manual. We had a discussion about this amongst ourselves, but it's reinforcing the point that we need to put this in the developer. More of this in the developer's manual.
This is Paul. When you're thinking about that, I do think the large class, small class dichotomy is very important. Here at MSU, you know, we'll teach classes up to 300, and the types of things that work in those auditoriums may be very different in terms of operationalizing something in a classroom that large relative to, you know, the regular standard classroom size. So I think if you could devote something directly to those kind of specific issues, I think that would be great.
Yep. Thank you.
This is Gail, and I was wondering, so this is a resource where people can go and search and maybe see methodology and approach and then different examples. Do we also have an interactive element where people who look, that we interact with them, or is it something we kind of put up and then we're done? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Scott, here, we need to flesh out that amongst ourselves and the leaders, but we hope that because there's some way that we would like to be able to capture who's actually coming to the site. One way to do that could be a free registration, could be a variety of different ways. We don't want to have the barriers be very high at all, but some way to encourage interaction. It could be that we also have other kinds of social networking tools. Actually, CERC has other social networking tools that could be utilized. Mm-hmm. A third way is that for people, there'll be a form that people can submit examples. I mean, there is a form that already exists at CERC. So we'll be able to know who these people are, and they'll certainly will be able to capture things and then be able to send things back out, create a community of practice or something like that.
So if maybe 30 people really enjoy Dirk's videos and want to do it, they can form kind of a working group or a chat group. And
yeah. Do people think that would be just want to hear for this is really useful? I think that would be useful. Do other people think that would be useful?
This is Mark here. One of the reasons that we think CERC has been so successful in the geosciences is they've been really good at keeping track and getting back to people who are using the site.
Right.
And they have a number of mechanisms we can use. They've actually done counts, and they've had access by 20% of geoscience instructors in higher education at their site. I don't think we're going to get that kind of number, but they're very good at finding ways to make it easier for people to register and participate in the site in addition just to searching it. And we're going to use their methods.
One way to pick up on Gail's comment is, I mean, I'm just one example, and we can think of others collectively at the workshops, et cetera, too, and you can feel free to email us. But it's to set up opportunities to sign up for a listserv groups where people could talk about it, or it could be an online kind of thing as well, some kind of social networking site that doesn't necessarily involve email. But other people feel that would be a useful thing? No, it's not good to throw that in a webinar. We could raise our hands and put a red or a green check mark and do a poll, but it's a little harder to do this on teleconference. But I'd like a little bit of feedback on that.
Yeah, this is Betty. One of the issues over the years with economists has been how little we collaborate and discuss teaching techniques. So I would be very interesting to see how CERT has been able to stimulate that discussion. I mean, the story of economics methodology is a small handful of people who use it and are quite enamored of it, and not much gets distributed across the profession. So one of the reasons I agreed to do this project, I thought it was a real interesting way perhaps to deal with that issue. So, yeah, I think it's very important that we do this.
This is Miles. I'd agree also, also for technical reasons, and in my module, spreadsheets can be pretty buggy. It's a very useful platform for things, but it doesn't always work. So it might help to have a community just for people to be able to ask questions and get assistance.
This is Kim Solson. I may have missed this, but are people going to be able to come back after they've used the example and put a little review up or a little statement, like this works great for my large class but not for my small class, and here's why? Are we going to get that sort of feedback actually up on the website?
That's a good suggestion. We'll take that under consideration. We'll talk to the people at CERC about that. We hadn't thought about that, actually. It's a good suggestion. I don't think we'll do the Merlot style where, you know, it gets 3 stars or 4 stars or 5, but, you know, we could do that too. But I think that's useful. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's possible. But technically, I think we do that. It's just, you know, it's like putting comments on a New York Times article and starting a discussion, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm writing these things down. So. Others on that topic? Or if you've got a different question, remember this is time. If questions that you have, to make sure that we address when Kimmery and Mark talk about the rest of this.
Well, if there are no additional questions, this is Kimmery. Why don't we move to the next?
Good.
Cognizant of the time and how precious that is.
Go ahead.
Would be me talking about the author pages. In order to introduce you to the CERC framework, and so that you can introduce each other in more than a "Hi, this is my module, and this is where I'm from," we thought it would be useful for our purposes to develop author pages, which ultimately would become public as well. These author pages are meant to give a little bit more background about who you are, what kind of work you've done, and any other related projects that you might have. You might have noticed if you went through the site that Mark Schott and I have our author pages complete and up as examples, and that we're hoping that you would be able to do your author page in the next week or so. We don't expect them to take more than maybe 15 minutes to do, given the instructions that we're going to provide. So the author page that we have set up, we've actually set up for everybody a mock page that you can go in and just edit. And I'm going to send around after our conference call today explicit instructions of how you access that, how you make those edits, and then how you share that page with everybody else. Because when you first develop your page, until you make it live, so to speak, that page is private and nobody else can see it. So we're going to develop, we've developed a process for doing that, and we'll send instructions around after this conference call. But that would be really our first task that we would ask you to do in order to familiarize yourself a little bit more with the CERC site and some of the things that you're going to have to be doing in the future in terms of editing. So, again, if you could put on your calendars a week from today as your goal to have those author pages done, I really don't expect it to take very long at all to do that, since you already have a editing version available to you. Are there any questions about that next step?
When you get your instructions, you'll see that your name will be at the top, but you've got Scott's information. You've got to edit.
You all look like Scott, right?
It looked like Scott.
Sweet.
A lot of Scott's floating around in this project right now.
Yeah.
This is Miles. I noticed my name is spelled wrong on the main page.
Oh.
Oh.
Miles, sorry.
It's an I and not a Y.
Yeah.
Apologies.
That's okay.
As you might guess, we've been at work the last week.
All right, great. If there are no questions, and again, I'll send that instructor kind of description around, and feel free to email me if you have any questions as you're developing those pages. I'm going to be your contact person for that development stage. So if you have any questions, give me a holler. The next main thing that we want to talk about is the developer's manual that we included a link in the agenda to. One thing I want to say up front, this is a draft. It's nearly complete, but not entirely so. If you read through it carefully, you'll notice that there's a couple of places where there are some pieces that we need to still flesh out, put in some examples and such. But we wanted to make sure we got this to you, especially for those who are developing their modules in time for the April workshop, to start thinking about what it is that this site looks like and ultimately how you're going to have to populate it with both the ideas as well as the examples. So the purpose of the manual is to give you an overview of the site itself, and there's a schematic in there that tries to describe that, as well as some of the details of what each layer of the module would look like.
Kim Marie, this is Art.
Yes.
I have one quick question.
Sure.
When we go to develop some of these examples, if we want to use graphics because we're pointing it toward, let's say, topics that are covered in a principles course, will the CERC platform be able to handle those graphics easily?
It is our understanding that they would indeed.
Okay. It's a matter of, again, this is a content management system, so you upload the file and then make the link to that file. That file, like whether it's a movie, whether it's a simulate, whether you know, whatever kind of, or whether it's a JPEG or whatever kind of format, would you just, they would assign a number to that, and you just put the link to that number in sort of internally to the database, essentially the content management system.
Cool.
So you'll actually see that when you upload a picture of yourself, it'll assign a number, and you'll see you'll actually go through that process of just by editing your author page.
Okay. So it should be able to handle anything that you upload to it, is the short answer.
Yep.
Cool.
Any other questions? All right. Mark, do you want to talk about the workshop?
Sure. Hi, this is Mark. I was going to talk for a couple of minutes about the workshops, and I assume everyone's received information about your wave in the workshops. As Scott mentioned, we're going to be running three sets of workshops, the first this April, then October 2009, and then spring. We don't have the dates for that one yet, in spring 2010. So everyone should know which workshop you're part of. Each workshop is going to have four or five modules present, and for each module, we plan to invite four or five people. Obviously, to be yourself as a module coordinator. Scott, Kim Marie, and I will be at every workshop, and Kim and Paul are going to take turns coming to the workshops. One of the exciting things, though, is that at the workshop, we're going to include at least two other economic educators. And for some of you who have already asked for names of people you think would be great to include, and one or two people outside of economics. I'm excited. In April, we're going to have John Bean, who's done work in quantitative writing, Carl Smith, who's very well known in cooperative learning, Jim Cooper from cooperative learning, Ken Heller, who developed the context-rich problem technique. These are people who aren't economists but have been very involved in pedagogy and other disciplines who are going to meet with us. We're going to meet starting on a Sunday night and Sunday afternoon and then meet through midday Tuesday for each of the workshops. CERC does a lot of these, and one thing I've been impressed by is they have very open websites for each one of the workshops that they run. So certainly people attending the workshop will be using that website, but also others who aren't can actually go to the website and see everything that's done at each one of the workshops. Questions as I go along?
one of the things you'll see is we will use this CERC site, overall site, as both a place to make resources available to people, but also for all people in the project as a place to share information about, these workshops and everything else. We don't have all that up now, but as you can see, there was a link to the January 16th webinar. Those things, we will use that site as the framework and the place for you to go to get information as well as email.
And the way we envision the workshops to go is on Sunday we'll meet together. We'll meet with the CERC staff and learn a little bit about their operation. On Monday, primarily the module groups will meet together. That's a group of four or five people working on their module. And you as the module coordinator, 2 weeks prior at least, will have posted a draft of your module so that those attending the workshop can come up with suggestions and comments that they can bring to the workshop. And then on Tuesday, we'll be meeting back as a larger group to talk about how our modules are going and get some feedback from other people who are working on different modules. We'll get back to you with reimbursement information. Obviously, we're covering travel, accommodation, and meals at the workshops. If anyone has suggestions for people, even if you're in the second or third wave, it's not too early to start thinking about other economic educators who you think would be useful to attend the workshop. I'm the person who's coordinating those invitations, so please let me know if you have names of people. Questions?
This is Kim Marie. You guys are all too.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you coming in the first workshop in April, in the next few weeks, we'll be getting information out about travel, about whatnot, and how to make those arrangements. And CERC will actually be doing a reimbursement kind of thing. That's part of what their service that they'll provide in the grant. And we'll be getting all that together. So don't worry until you hear from us. But that'll be relatively soon for those of you in the April workshop. For those of you in future workshops, we'll talk a little bit in the, or Mark, you can say you aren't going to wait until 6 or 9 months from now. We'll get you busy doing things. Want to talk about the follow-up to the workshop?
Before you do that, I'm sorry, this is Pam. So I'm up for the first round of workshops in April, and I'm still not sure about the format in which I'm supposed to be submitting something to you before that. So I'm going to be doing it in this CERC format, and there's documentation coming more than just this manual that will help me figure out how to do that?
Yes.
Okay. My 11-year-old's going to have to do it.
Who is that? Sorry, that was Kim?
No, it's Ann. My 11-year-old son is much more technically competent than I, but if you want it in this CERC format, I'm going to need some more guidance.
Yeah. Was suggested to everyone is to you in the email that previously, and we can put it out again, to look at, say, a sample that's on the Pedagogy in Action site. They're starting started out as a starting point site in geosciences to get the framework. The developer's manual lays out the different components and has questions to be answered within each one of those components. But as you're pointing out, it's really useful oftentimes to see one actually completed. And we, unlike if we were starting from scratch, we actually have the luxury of having that. So and we'll be talking about that some more. So you have models, and we'll be pointing to some of the particularly well-done ones from the CERC site that are currently there, publicly available, that you can model after.
And this is Mark. We also will be having another conference call just with the people coming to the April workshop.
Okay.
Right.
Joanne, and you know about that on February 4th.
Right.
Right.
Actually, that one will be a webinar, so we'll have you
webinar.
Both on the phone like this, but then showing you things via webinar.
And there also will be a webinar later on with everyone who's attending the workshop, not just the module coordinators, but everybody who will be there. We'll have a chance to meet each other on the phone and on the webinar. Right. Before the actual workshop. And then after the workshop, we're going to ask, and you did receive a list of this, those of you who aren't doing a module, and that's what wave three are going to be looking at the wave one modules approximately 1 month after the workshop to give some feedback to those module coordinators. And you should, in one of your earlier instructions, receive a list of the modules you're going to be giving some feedback to.
Again, we're going to put all this up on also up on the CERC site. It's not there. You've just gotten it via email
right.
At this point.
Questions about workshops? Do you want to go on to next steps then, Scott?
Let me say something too. If you're out at the website, I just want to make a point. I made there were actually two typos that we had in the module coordinator list. So if you go to the January 16th webinar and then and you click on author pages there, Miles, I corrected yours and Betty's had a typo too, but and made it live. Again, there are two. There's a development site and there's a live site, and so I made it live. And in doing that, these weren't links before because we had made some changes on the development side, but now you'll see yourself all as linked. But I want to point this out going forward, and so this goes with this. If you click on your link, it's going to come up and it's going to go to a CERC page and it's going to say page not found. That's because that page isn't there. Even though we've created a template, we've created a page for you that you'll see once you get these instructions that Kim Marie talked about via email after the conference call here, it's still going to only be on the development site. So after you create it and you press the button to say, yep, we want to make this live, then you're going to go back to this page and you click on your name and you say, oh, it's not there. No, it won't be there until Kim Marie will be the one actually to ultimately turn the button on to make it live. So at some point it will be. So don't get worried about that is what I'm saying. And the instructions will make how to do all of that clear. But even after you sort of press the button to say, yeah, I want to make this live now, I'm done editing. If you click on your link, don't get worried that it says page not found. So if you haven't had a chance to look through this module developer's manual, please do that. We've included screenshots in a lot of different places to try and make the process easier, at least to comprehend it and get your head sort of wrapped around the bigger picture. When you get the instructions that Kim Marie talked about how to do your author pages, the only thing you're going to have access to start with is that page. So you're not going to be able to start working on a module and do stuff like that. We're going to talk about that in another webinar coming up. So people that are sort of eager beavers and want to do that, you can start developing things in sort of Word documents if you want to start doing that. But you won't actually have access to that part of the site just yet. The things that are in the manual will help you get an understanding of what those component parts will ultimately be and what kinds of things are contained in there and give you a feel for the overall structure of what this is all about and how your piece fits into the grander scheme here. We'll remind you again in terms of the who's up for the workshop coming up in April. And coming webinars that are coming up, and also who will be reviewing. We'll again put that out on the CERC site. We want to get you familiar with going out to that site. That's going to be the place where you're going to do your work, starting with the author's page. We were talking about those of you that are going to be at the workshop in April. We'll be talking with the CERC folks following up on this next week. We'll start to get some of the information about travel, et cetera. We'll be able to take some of the things that they've done with their workshops and cut and paste, essentially, you know, directions, how to get to Carlton's in Northfield, Minnesota. It's about a 45-minute drive from Minneapolis. Minneapolis will be the airport that you'll be flying into. We'll need to determine the transportation, that sort of thing. But we'll have all that information for you. It's not something you'll have to do. The only thing you'll have to do is make your plane reservation at some point. when, after we've gotten that information out. So just hold off on making any reservations and that sort of thing until we get that information to you. Anything else? Kim Marie and Mark, you want to add?
No, Kim Marie, I think we've got everything from our end covered. I just want to make sure that everybody is comfortable with where we stand at the moment.
This is Miles. I just had a question actually following up something that Ann asked earlier about copyright. If I publish things that I want to include on this site, I'm assuming I would have to go to the publisher of the journal and seek permission to have it appear. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. It wasn't exactly clear from the manual, but it seemed like that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, and again, think about open access in general. The flip side of that is things that get created on this site, just so you're aware of that, will have a Creative Commons sharing license. This is on page 22 of the manual that's discussed.
Right.
It allows that Creative Commons, it's a sharing license a way to facilitate that's commonly used and allows people to use and reuse the materials on the site as long as they give attribution to the original author and that people don't use that work in a commercial way or use for a commercial purpose, including used in some somebody's not going to can't grab it and put it in a textbook, for example, without that would be a violation of that Creative Commons sharing license.
Right.
But that's covered on page 22 and 23.
Yeah.
If you've got additional questions about that, you know, always feel free to ask us. But anything you use, anything that's used from somewhere else, yes, needs to not only have attribution to that, even for things that are freely available, we need to give attribution of where these things are coming from. But also, if there's anything published, whether it's a movie, song, article, whatever, does need permission. Yeah. And we'll need to include that on the site.
Right.
This is Mark here. Besides questions, maybe there are other ideas for things we haven't thought about for the site or the project. Feel free to chime in or certainly email us if the things we haven't just thought about.
What things are really unclear to you, and that's a plural you, what things are really unclear to you about this, about all this at this point?
This is Joe. One question I have is how searchable is the CERC site going to be? I mean, if I'm doing a Google search, is it going to hit the CERC stuff, or what's going to be our way to get this information out to people so that they can easily hit it?
CERC is really good with the metadata. It's called, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with this, with the using getting the metadata right to make it so that it gets picked up by all search engines and everything else. Yep. CERC's got lots of experience with this.
Okay, so it's Googleable.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Kim Marie, maybe you want to talk about also the work we want to do to disseminate more in person.
Right. As part of my role, I'll be trying to coordinate some of the dissemination practices. So as soon as we have some of the modules launched in fall being the first wave, we're going to try to have sessions at different meetings to coordinate those of you who have been involved in the project to give some press to the work that you've been doing. So I'm going to coordinate sessions at all the regional meetings and at the national meeting, which will at first be launched by just a paper that Scott, Mark, and I are going to write that overviews the entire project. And then from there, we will have opportunities for each of you to highlight some of the work that you've been doing and to encourage other people to get involved as well.
This is Miles. I have one other question. As part of this, we're to be encouraged to encourage others to submit materials. I assume then we would format it and get into the proper form for the starting point site. Is that correct?
The examples? There's actually an online form. We weren't going to overwhelm you with sort of everything, but there's an online form that's already developed that they've CERC developed for their other projects over the years that all the people have to do is fill in boxes, essentially, for each one of the components, and it will take care of the rest.
And then we wouldn't have to do much with it then.
That's... No, they should be able to, people will be able to submit it. What your role will be to review it to see whether it is a high enough quality, whether it's relevant, whether it fits in the ways that they say, you know, for a small class, large class, micromat, whatever. Your job will be to review those submissions. You'll play editor.
Okay. And so the submission should be fairly complete then.
Yeah.
We'll once we get going with the modules, we'll actually show that to you.
Right.
We can show you what that looks like, what that form looks like even now. In fact, you can probably go to the CERC site and get it publicly now and look for it. But it's not sort of just easily found probably. But somebody would submit something would need to complete all those components, which is one of the components that we laid out in the developer's manual that the examples all have, because they themselves are part of a database, and the person submitting, you wouldn't be involved in that process until after it was submitted by someone.
Okay, thank you.
You don't have to play the role of, somebody can just do it independently. You would get it after it's been submitted.
Right. My question drew from, I'm in the fortunate position of having modules written already in economics, and I'm just very impressed with what's there, and I was wondering if the module coordinators would need to provide additional material, the PowerPoint descriptions, et cetera. So, but that clears it up. Thank you.
No, the submitter would need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is Kim Marie again. Just FYI, in the dissemination, part of that process is we're going to make public all the modules that are going to be ultimately available and your contact information so that people could at least initially say, I'm interested in this. How do I get involved? And you can point them to this is the way you would submit an exercise. And then they would have to fill out all those boxes, and they couldn't submit the exercise until all the boxes were complete.
Yep.
So that you could at least keep track of who is interested for your own purposes and your own, you know, growth if you're doing work, research in this area, but also to have an opportunity to keep tabs on people that may be interested so that we can encourage this to spread throughout the profession.
Great.
Yeah, there are opportunities for people to get RSS feeds, for example, when the site is updated, when the examples page in a particular module is updated, for people that know what RSS is about.
This is Mark. Anything we've not covered or any other areas?
We're really interested. I'll say for me, I'm really interested in questions that you would consider stupid questions, dumb questions, because they aren't. And we would want to, those things that you might think are, we want to hear. We want to know.
Well, this is Betty. I guess the whole issue of dissemination. We always, when we do these, present things at conferences, and there's always a few people who come up that are really interested. But I think thinking of strategies that make it more active within maybe university systems would be helpful. I'm part of a huge system, and actually some campus involvement someplace down the road might turn out to yield some real benefits. Just an idea.
This is Kim Marie. Thank you, Betty.
And as you have both questions and ideas about those kinds of things, please let us know. Just email us. Just drop us an email.
Yeah, this is Betty. Can I say hello to Kim?
No.
Oh, darn.
I'm sorry, but I heard it, so it's too late to deny it.
Well, this is Kimberly. Once again, I want to say that I am very pleased that you're all part of this project, and I certainly look forward to working with you over the next couple of years.
We're really excited about this. We think we've really gotten a good group of people together. And we know that you will also get good people under, working with you in terms of examples. We've tried to coordinate people outside of economics we know or connections that we've made. And we're really excited about this, that we don't think there's been anything quite like this before in terms of trying to build networks across really a large number of people. Well, that was a conversation stopper.
Well, this is Betty. I'm really excited, too, just by the group of people, and I'm really looking forward to doing this.
This is Joe. I just want to pitch in my two cents for our leaders here. You guys are doing a great thing, and I know it's hard to get across in a webinar, but I know I'm really excited about jumping on board. Thanks for inviting me. I can't wait to get started. I think this is going to be great for our profession, and I can't wait to get it out there. So thanks for taking the charge and getting the grant money and just getting everybody going. This is really going to do our profession a lot of good.
This is Art Goldsmith. I agree completely. Well said.
If any of that's jogging something in my mind, Scott. Here, if people are interested and they don't have a module coming up, you know, in April and are sort of chomping at the bit, just send us an email and we'll determine as leaders how we want to deal with that. We don't want to hold people back. You got to wait. You know, you just got to do reviews. You know, if people want to start working on some things, we might be able to facilitate. We just need to think about how do we do that in kind of an orderly way. We don't want to dampen anybody's excitement and eagerness.
One last thing that might be helpful. Could you just review who we should contact with what sorts of questions? This is Miles.
Hi, this is Mark. If you have questions about the workshop, I'll be the person. If you have questions about rooms, if you need to bring a partner, air travel, questions about the workshop, Kim Marie is going to be handling questions about dissemination.
And the moment, Scott, the author pages as well.
And, Scott, you're the money person, should we say that?
Yeah, so is Dirk. I mean, they're doing some of this. My comment to that is, while you may get a response from one person, if you can, we really work as a team. The three of us know each other well and work together on other things. And if you can send out all three, I know that's hard to, you know, you got to keep three different emails ready, but that's the easiest way. We'll sort out who responds, and you may get multiple responses even. We try to be careful about sharing all the information with each other. So we might get CC'd with each other in a response to your individual question, but if you just send it all three of us up front, we'll sort out, we'll parse out who actually makes the response back to you. I'd find that useful, actually.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
We're nearing 11, at least my time, 11.
Yep. They said an hour. Anybody have a last questions they want to ask before we break?
Nope. Excellent. This is Kim Marie. Just a reminder for those who are in the April workshop, our next webinar for that, and it will be a true webinar at that point, will be February 4th. So just want to make sure everybody, that's at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Just want to make sure that you have that on your radar screen.
And this is Liz, and I guess I'm not due for a webinar for a while, but when you say true webinar, do you mean with microphone, and what kinds of equipment do I need to make sure my IT staff provides me with?
We're going to make this really, really simple. Carlton uses something called Yugma, Y-U-G-M-A. For those techies that want to go out and look at that, you can do your own version for free, actually. We will use that as a way to organize the content and discussion, keep everybody literally on the same page. That is, it's a screen sharing. One of the things is to share desktop with all of you. So we can say, this is what we're talking about, or go down a list or a whiteboard area. And also, it will have opportunities for people to text message questions and comments along the way. But we will also make use of this 800 number in the same exact way. So there's really nothing more that you than you, telephone and an internet connection, and just as today, actually. But we'll make greater use of the visual part with the webinar.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, once again, thanks, everybody.
Thank
Welcome.
You. You'll be getting an email from Kim Marie
Thank you.
About the author pages. Be
yep.
on the lookout
yep.
for that.
Right.
And that's
thanks,
done.
Everyone.
Again,
this is Mark.
Homework is for you to do that in the next week. Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.